責めないで削らないで負けないで誰だって。 This is the Otaku in Review podcast. I'm Scott Spaziani from Otaku in Review.
I'm Shannon, aka Perfect Serenade.
And I'm Michael Camacho of G-Nitro.com. This is the summer 2021 anime preview, recorded on July 20th.
I can't believe it's a summer preview. Shannon.
Hey, Scott.
Welcome back to Billionaire Frozen Corpse Watch here on the Otaku in Review podcast, where we scan the skies waiting for a frozen billionaire corpse to fall out, and as we cheer the death of these opulent nutcases.
I wasn't the only one wishing for that today.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
I wasn't the only one.
I can't say anything. I cannot say anything. I have no comment.
Yes, we know.
Oh, that's right. You can actually make a professional call here. So we won't ask you. However, Mike and I
was hoping the big rocket would explode and not that looked like a penis and not with white stuff.
Well, I mean, I think that's why they put the 18-year-old on there so that they wouldn't have anyone try to
wish
destroy it mid-flight.
Or wish ill will? I still wish ill will.
Plenty of people still wished ill will, but nobody actively wished it.
First off, that 18-year-old was only on there because his dad's rich enough to blow off the engagement and send him instead because he was too busy. So, fuck that kid and fuck that father!
He had a scheduling conflict, so he was able to miss out on the $28 million seat.
The old lady was the only one I was rooting for because she had been turned down.
It was an old lady?
Being an astronaut in her past. That's the only person I rooted for because she passed all this training in her youth to be an astronaut, and they said, no, you're a woman. You can't do it.
That makes sense for the 60s.
Yeah.
But I'm happy for her. I was happy for her. Seeing her walk out of that just the tip was a joyous moment.
All right, so that's not what we're here to talk about,
nope,
right?
We're here to talk about summer anime, baby.
Wish anyone ill will.
One of the greatest seasons ever concocted.
I don't know about that.
I mean, if one of them has to go, like it's Bezos, right? I mean, we still kind of like Richard Branson just a little bit, right?
I don't think he's a complete asshole. He also had Virgin Airlines, which used to be one of the greatest airlines to ever fly.
He's got a lot of charisma.
And he made a legit good airline for decent prices. So
my favorite part is when the billionaire returned and he thanked everybody who worked for Amazon because they paid for it.
Because they died for him in his warehouse and peed in bottles.
Yeah, that is exactly the like saying the quiet part loud stuff that can pass in 2021 where you thank your employees for helping to pay for your space flight.
Yeah, it was
wild.
But let's get into anime.
All right, we're
let's talk about
anime.
Cartoons. That's
We've
right.
Got
this
like
is
11
a season
or 12 series to discuss.
Preview.
Let's go.
Oh Christ, that's just wonderful. That's I love cartoons. All right, we're just going to jump right into it. We're going to talk about some cartoons. Mike, I want you to give us a summary of our first show.
Okay,
by the way, I'm having trouble parsing the title of this show. Why do they have to make titles like this?
Okay, so it is called How a Realist Hero Rebuilt the Kingdom, or Genjitsu Shugi Yusha no Okoku Saikenki, which is the Japanese title. So I had to say that because Scott can't do it. We all remember the old Oreimo days. Failed every time.
You don't know me.
But anyway, so How a Realist Hero Rebuilt the Kingdom is a light novel, is based on a light novel series I've discussed on this podcast. So I was looking forward to this one because this could go really well or really poorly. And based on the first two, three episodes, they've kind of nailed it. Like, it is not there if you are looking for action. It is legit realist. Like, he is breaking things down in a very modern day, our world way in some fantasy land where he's bringing in these new ideas, whether they're strategies, economics, how to take advantage of the people in within the population of the kingdom. So Kazuya Soma is crowned king after being summoned.
Well, he's crowned king after talking to the consul for 3 days.
Yeah, but he is crowned king because the current king realizes he is the right man for the job. Hands off his daughter as well to Soma. And is like, go at it. And Soma's like, what? That's not what I agreed to. And it starts there where Soma meets Lysia, the princess, or the ex-princess now at this point, and his new fiance. She is confused by him, thinks he usurped the throne, and he starts explaining the different things and why he's doing what he's doing. And you start seeing where the relationship factor goes between them also early on. But I have to say, I was shocked because I thought they would rush through this anime. They are taking their time, considering this is only a 12-episode series. They plan on making more. There has to be no other reason for them taking their time. There's like 14 or 15 volumes out in the U.S. right now, maybe 13 or 14. And I've finished up to 10 or 11, and I'm going, how the hell do they plan on... Oh, I'm sorry, 12 volumes here, 13 in Japan. So I was like, how do they plan on getting through a lot of these volumes with how... I guess most people consider this slow-paced, but it's literally letting the story build properly instead of kind of being like, here's this guy, we're throwing this at you, throwing this at you. It's taken its time to show his different changes, and I really like that about How a Realist Hero. It just comes off really well done, and you can tell they're pouring like heart and soul into this show. This is something JC staff wants to make great.
So it's a little tough because, I mean, it is an isekai, and after the first episode, I described it to you as like, this is isekai.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the kind of isekai in its purest form, where guy has a skill, is brought into a fantasy world and manipulates that skill. Just so happens the skills are like, you know, like city planning and economics and all that. And it's a pretty neat concept overall, to have someone like that just be dumped into what is a poor kingdom that actually needs his help. So he, you know, wanted to summon a hero, and they it's like a monkey's paw kind of situation where they got not what they wanted, but maybe exactly what they needed.
I wasn't
too thrilled with, like, I was confusing, like, okay, they made him king. Like, I at one hand I get why, but at the same, like, I don't know if any king would actually give up their power that quickly.
So there's something interesting, but it's one of those things in the light novel that you don't really find out about until the later novels of the king's backstory, the king and his wife backstory, and how much sway they have on kind of the history of this world. And it's really interesting because they're focused on Soma through so much. And even then, they tell that story in like a side story of one of the books.
Yeah, because it's not just like, so if, like, you know, the king could just give him the power to do what he wants, but it's hard for me to think that the king would give up, like, you know, this kingdom obviously has a lot of magical resources and all that. But, you know, maybe there's some character building there.
But it's like when,
after he
said,
abdicates
though.
The throne. Yeah, after he abdicates the throne, the king doesn't really seem to give a shit what happens.
No, that's in the book. No, the king and and his queen are just happily enjoying life now. But Soma says it himself, where he was in one of the, I can't remember if it was episode 2 or 3, where he talks about how he was a good king in time of peace.
Yeah.
But in time of war and struggle, he was not that man for the job. And Soma has more of those things. I will tell you one thing that pisses
me off
about this show.
Need a wartime concierge.
I'm telling you what pisses me off about this show.
Sure.
Every time a freaking episode ends, because they end so well, I'm like, no! Wait, no! Give me more! It's not even like a negative pissed off. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't stop here. I know. I even know what happens next, and I want to see more of the anime. That's how well done this is from the book. Is it, yeah, the anime is not this... like, oh, I've read this. I don't need to know what happens next. I'm like, no. I want to see the next. I want to see what's next.
Yeah, certainly. It's certainly like, because by the first maybe like 10, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes in, I didn't think I was like it. It certainly did start to hook me by the end of the first episode. And I think into the second episode is when it really starts to make sense. The one thing that actually, from a pacing standpoint, so I guess because he came into this world, he has a magic power. And his magic power is also helps him be a good administrator.
Yeah.
But that's another one of those things was like, well, okay, if he has this administrative magic power, maybe that they should have waited to reveal that until...
But it's following the pace of the book.
Okay, yeah, no, I get that. But like, why have him this magic administrative magic power?
Because all isekais have to.
He was already given the kingdom.
Isekais have to give away the magic power early on. They have to let you know. But
he's not just a normal guy now.
I will say eventually, there is a good percentage of the show is harem later on. Because he gets more wives.
Okay.
But it's not.
That's
it's
weird.
But it's not. Samurai harem style harem or Rama one half harem. They're all wives who have reasons that make him stronger as a king. So they don't just throw them together.
Well, that's even a little disappointing because I actually really like the princess character.
No. You'll see. If they start bringing him in, you'll understand. I don't want to give too much away about the rest. Okay. I just wanted to say, there. I know people are apprehensive about harem stuff. It's not done in a way where it's like, here's this constant goofy harem. There are moments, of course, that break up the whole realist thing. Because after a while, this part that they're doing now will eventually be like, Jesus, is this all you're going to do? Because I was worried about that when I first started reading the light novels, but they managed to break up the monotony of the realist hero and strategical stuff with a little more lighthearted moments and humor. But
all right,
really
perfect.
Enjoyed that one.
So I'd say this is definitely one that might be worth watching.
People should definitely watch this one. The next one I only watched. Oh, wait, what'd you do? Did you remove it? You want to talk about it later? You moved my...
I moved the list, so it's a little more spread out.
Did you take away stuff that's later down? You threw me off, dude.
No, I just moved things.
Okay.
Damn
so
it,
girlfriend.
Scott.
Dude. Girlfriend is the next show I watched. And this show is just pure... I don't even know what the... It's garbage. It's
Is it about a guy who gets a girlfriend?
So it starts off with this guy talking about how he finally he's confessed to his best friend, his childhood friend, over the years, and she finally accepted in high school, and he's super happy, and he's like super honest and affectionate towards her, and it's kind of annoying in the beginning, but she always accepts it because he loves her so much, and she's off the club, and she's like, don't cheat on me while we're not together. He's up on the rooftop, and another girl comes up and confesses to him, who's super cute and adorable. He's like, I can't just say no. And this all happens within, like, the first 5-10 minutes of the show. It's terribly paced. I'll talk more about that in a second. All of a sudden, he's now convincing his current girlfriend that he should have 2 girlfriends. And she's all struck by her cuteness and is like, no, and gets angry and then eventually accepts. And now they're all cohabitating by the end of the episode. It's fucking weird.
That sounds like an absolute fucking stupid anime.
It is really stupid. So I was like, this would add potential if they had spent like the whole first episode having the main couple together. And then she confesses at the end of the first episode. You did all that shit within like 5 minutes. And I'm like, well, where's the build-up? There's no... You're just throwing this fucking situation together.
So,
and then
the next thing I know,
they're in, like, one of their houses, and I didn't... I was like, I thought they just went there after school, but then they start talking about, like, they're in, like, the bathroom, and there's steam, so there's obviously Blu-ray sales they're looking for, and then they start talking about sleeping together and actual, like, sex-type sleeping together, but I'm like, wait, Y'all are living together? What is... I was like, what is happening? There was no explanation of, like, let's go back to my house and live there. They were just there. Like, this whole show is just rushed trash. Has no build-up. It's obviously going to be there just for guys to be like, cute girls, yay! I wish I was in that role.
And I was just like, this is it awful. Sounds like the whoever created it is, it's just like their, you know, top-of-the-line fantasy that they want.
Yeah.
So the only thing they can do is make an anime out of it.
I was like, this could be funny. Nope. It's just bad. It's etchy, and it's just, no. I was like, no, I don't care. Don't watch that show.
So, I mean, just to clarify, like, so we talk, you know, we said that the other one turns into a harem anime. This is literally, this guy starts his own harem with two girlfriends.
Yeah.
Or is it a triad?
I guess for them, it's a triad. It's him and two girls.
Well, no, it would be a triad. Would be all of them would be in the relationship together.
They are.
So are there two women in a sexual relationship?
It sounds
too?
Like it's going to go that way. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Because
that's something that the anime doesn't tend to do. That might be new.
But it sounds like that could turn into like they're all. I was like, no, I'm done. I started watching so many shows, I was like, thank God, I'm not going back to Girlfriend. I don't want to. I was like, I don't want to watch another episode of that garbage. Stay away from that anime. It's still not the worst of the season, but it was fighting for top spot of worst of the season.
Okay, well, let's actually move on to something that people like.
Okay, so Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid S. I teared up at the first episode.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you.
It's the first full-on anime series from KyoAni since the fire. And it was emotional. Like, to see them come back with something, and I guess you could consider it relatively quick, 2 years after. It was
well,
pretty...
they did finish the... that movie. They did finish the movie, which came out very quickly after. I think it was pretty much done. That was technically the first release. What movie? Oh my God, Violet Evergarden movie. Yeah.
Okay. But
that came out the same year. But I think that was pretty much done production wise.
I'm not gonna go really into this show a lot because it's Miss Kobayashi. People should know what to expect. But it starts nailing off the bat. One of the biggest things is there is an homage to Yasuhiro Takemoto at one point in a maid cafe where they talk about the word moe and how it's not used anymore, but the spirit lives on. That right there, just that little tribute to him because he passed away in the fire, was really good. Like, it reminded me of why KyoAni is so fucking good at what they do. This whole thing.
They really are.
So, if you like Miss Kobayashi the first season, this is just more of the same, and it's still wonderful. It's still charming and sweet, and has some, like, little, like, adult humor there, but it's never too over the top. The first episode ends with Kobayashi ending up with man parts, but it never goes too far with it. The jokes are there for a reason, and that's it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that like the there seems to be some play with some transgender qualities in a humorous but not all in together like insulting way.
No.
It was more like one
of the dragons used magic to change them. It wasn't like all of a sudden now, haha, look at her, she's a guy. It was more like she's like, oh God, don't let Toru see this or I'm really in trouble. She'll want to procreate. Like, it's like, she loves me enough as it is. She can't find out. It was used for jokes and, like you said, not in an assaulting way. It was doing it more in a very much about their relationship type of way.
If you like the season one.
Oh, people got to watch this. Just it feels great to see a full-on series. Like you said, they had a movie, but this is like their first full series coming back, and that's
full
what
production,
they're known for.
since the incident.
Nailing it. Jokes. Oh, so good. So we'll go into one where two of us... Oh, God damn it, Scott. I hate you're moving around. So we're going to go into the worst show of this season. Or Scott feels is the best show of this season.
It's the called, best show ever.
It is a light novel I enjoyed the first volume of. And this anime is not that. Drugstore in Another World, the slow life of a cheat pharmacist. Scott, so it says Drugstore in Another World. Did you get an isekai from this show at all when you started watching it? Did you anything about isekai?
Well, so that was actually the thing that I kind of liked about the first few minutes of this show is that it didn't give you an isekai like opening. It just was like, oh, I was a pharmacist and now I'm in a different world. Anyway, here's
the
story.
The problem is you can't adapt a light novel that goes through all of that and just toss it.
So, like, well, so, okay. So there is kind of a rich narrative in Japan about like people using medicine. Yeah. And like herbal supplements to solve problems. There's a lot of good anime about that kind of stuff. So, like Mushishi would be the number one, where there's a person who goes around solving the actions of Shinto spirits using medicines.
And I read that one, Dr. Ramun. I watched that one last. Season last
Mononoke, which is a similar thing with a character actually called the medicine seller. So I said, like, oh, well, it's going to be about a pharmacy. Hopefully they'll introduce interesting problems that only the pharmacist can solve. Yeah. And Mike, is that what happens in this show?
Yes. Yes.
No.
But it's not. So
no.
The problem is, I keep thinking back to the light novel, and it's so much more detailed and so much better than all this shit. So, this whole show doesn't really introduce you to any of the fucking characters. They're just thrown at you. And the animation is fucking garbage. It looks bad.
So the animation's
bad. The voice acting
character designs
is annoying.
The jokes are bad.
Dude, it's just like, oh, you suffer from this, here, take this, and it's no build-up in this anime. The most build-up you have is the girl with insomnia. And it feels
and
so...
And that really wasn't anything.
But the anime, so the light novel wasn't that much better, it was slightly better, but it feels so misogynistic. That whole problem felt really condescending to women. And them being lack of sleep to the point where they go psychopath, like yandere fucking crazy. Like, I was like, I don't think that's how that fucking works. But, okay. Like, it happens in the light novel, but it's not nearly as awful as the anime makes it out to be. But one of my problems with this and this show, you'll find out one of the workers with him is just a fucking ghost. No explanation. The whole point of the light novel actually introduced the ghost properly. And this one, it's like, oh yeah, the ghost here.
So
why is there a ghost in your fucking truck?
Hear that. Yeah. I mean, maybe they're like,
the
maybe
one
they're
that gave
some
him
of the
list.
Instruction for later episodes.
No,
but
the one that gave him the list for groceries is a ghost, but
yeah,
they don't talk
yeah,
about anything. They mention it briefly, and that's it.
Yeah, they mention it's a ghost.
But
there's actually a reason there's a ghost.
This is not following
the
light novel continuity at all. It's just throwing shit out there. It's bad. It is so poorly done. And so before we, because I don't want to go on too long about this fucking terrible series, it is made by a studio called EMT Squared. Their best property is Kuma 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 Bear, another isekai that has 4-star average on Anime Planet. Nothing else has above a 3.5, and most of it sits under 3. In fact, a lot sit under 2.5 and less. They're not a good fucking studio. I was like, when I started watching this show, I was like, what is this? And I looked up the studio, I was like, oh my god. They were like, this is like when you hear about like a light novel writer or mangaka gets their series created and then they get shit on and they're like, they fucking didn't do my series justice. This is it. I feel so bad for the light novel writer. This is awful. Dude's got to be embarrassed. Got to be downright embarrassed.
And I mean, I think that the thing that really drove me crazy, so it's not the ghost, but there is the character who is the...
Wolf?
It's like a werewolf.
Werewolf. It's
but
a werewolf.
Not a werewolf.
No, she's a werewolf.
But she's not a werewolf. Well, but she just is a wolf. She's like an anthropomorphic wolf all the time.
Yeah, but in this world, they call them werewolves. Ooh.
And the voice acting is like the most irritating.
Woof, woof.
The noises that she's supposed to make that are supposed to be cute are just grating.
Well, I think the problem is it's not... They'd be fine if she wasn't doing it every 10 seconds in the anime. Like,
yeah,
literally.
For sure.
It's like this weird running punchline of her just doing this constantly. It's like, stop. Stop. I got to the point where it's like, I don't even care about this character. Like,
well, yeah, that's a lot of, like, yeah, it's a quote punchline, but the punchline is she makes an annoying sound.
So the whole light novel...
I want to turn off the anime every time she does it.
The whole light novel is basically, if I remember correctly, him showing up in this world, he saves the wolf, and then finds a town and decides to open a pharmacy. He finds the place finds a place that's really cheap because there's a ghost there. And he solves that mystery, and the ghost is actually like a cute girl and starts working for him too. But I'm like, none of this is covered. None of it. They briefly mention that he saved the wolf girl. Don't really go into any specifics other than his wonder potion did it or wonder energy drink did it. That's it. It's like, this is so bad.
I mean, that beginning sounds a lot more interesting than the way this show begins, which is basically just the general store owner comes to him and asks to sell his potions.
It's already at 2.8 average on Anime Planet.
Yeah, that's okay.
Things rated around 3.5 until people really start watching it, and this show's been like dropping fast. This is like candidate for garbage bad.
Okay.
Like, this is bad. The only thing better is you don't have a lot of still people just standing there talking and not moving.
So I think that the one thing that makes it not as bad as Candidate for Goddess is this didn't make me angry as much as it made me want to do anything else but watch anime for the rest of the day.
Yeah,
me want to stop watching anime for
I
the
think
day.
That was the last one I watched that day. I was just like, yeah, I'm done. I agree 100%. Alright, so let's move on. Shannon and I watched this next show. It's just a continuation, so people should know based on our past episode. We'll do a brief intro. It is My Next Life as a Villainess. All routes lead to Doom X, aka the second season. Katarina is back after the events of the first season. And it's exactly what you...
She's alive.
Yes. She's exactly what you expect and wanted from a second season. She's still completely fucking oblivious.
Yeah, she doesn't. I think normally in this kind of circumstance, I would get really annoyed with this type of character.
Yeah.
But the way that they write her and the way that she interacts with everybody, it's just very charming. She's just a very charming character, and I'm glad to see that continuation on to the second season, you know, and it's really funny because she's, you know, she's so happy, like, oh my gosh, I'm alive, I beat, you know, quote unquote, the game.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited to see where this next season goes, and if any of the romance options kind of blossom, I'm still Team Mary.
Who on my team? I think I'm team Nico.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay.
Mostly because of his sister's awesome. But I know she's pushing her brother, so it can't be team Sophia. She's pushing her brother. So I got to be on his side because Sophia's fucking adorable.
Well, this anime is definitely for the bisexual audience, gotta say.
Still rolling. And even with new characters, already showing their interest in her when they're already couples with other people. The end of the first episode, I was like, oh my god. This freaking, like, sadist already has her sights set on Katarina, Susanna Randall.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where her character leads. I think she's going to end up being a bad guy. in my opinion.
So I watched the first two episodes, and I have to say, the first episode did a good job of reintroducing everybody, getting people reacquainted. It was goofy, fun, charming. That second episode was fucking amazing with the play scene.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a good scene.
It's so good. Everybody needs to check it out because I'm not going to even spoil this. Just watch it. The way Katarina handles this play just kind of brings about a side of her that was expected and never happened. I'll put it that way.
Yes, I agree with that.
So, awesome second season. I really don't want to go too far into it because I feel like everything else is spoilers at this point. But if you want to see a woman that's surrounded by men and women that love her and she's oblivious to it all, but also super genuine with all of them, you've got to check it out. I know friend of the show, Matt, marathon season one and then was immediately like, I gotta start season two. he liked it all that much. So the next one I'll go into brief. This is one of the shows only I watched. It is Seirei Gensoki Spirit Chronicles. Another isekai, Scott. Yeah, more isekai. So this one's actually an interesting isekai. It's been done similar before, but not exactly the same as this. We saw it similar to Bookworm, Ascendance of a Bookworm, where this guy dies in a train accident and is now in, or I should say, his memories are now in a young boy. So you remember how in Ascendance of a Bookworm,
the way you say that,
so yeah, you remember Ascendance of a Bookworm. So you remember Ascendance of a Bookworm had her waking up in the girl's body, and she eventually remembered things from her past as that girl. This young boy is fully aware of who he is in this current world and what he's had growing up, but all of a sudden one day he has these memories of a life in Japan, but he doesn't think he's that guy. Does that make sense? But there's something. So all of a sudden now, thanks to that, he's got this weird power that's not exactly magic that the world knows. But so he ends up starting off in the slums. The people in the little slum house that he's in kick him out. They had just gotten done with a job and he doesn't know what it is. He leaves, meets these three young girls and a woman night looking for a kidnapped girl. He doesn't know anything about it. They don't believe him, but they leave him alone because one girl notices he has magic but notices he's not lying. He goes back to the place to find everybody pretty much slaughtered, finds the girl that was kidnapped in one of the bags the guys brought back, didn't know she was in there until then, and then an assassin tries to kill him. He ends up bringing in the memories from Japan where he knew God damn it, I'm so mad at myself, I can't remember the sword play.
Kendo?
Was that?
Kendo?
Yes, thank you, Kendo. And just his grandfather's training. And able to make himself stronger through the magic or the ability he has with that memories and takes down this assassin pretty easily. Ends up rescuing the girl. He's taken, and this is a young girl too, same age, taken back to the castle. He's then chained up because some asshole knights think he was part of the plot, almost beaten to death, and then the girls come back, rescue him, and the king puts him into the school for nobility, and we know where that goes, commoner. Certain people don't like him, but he, of course, is overpowering and winning everything, and they're getting jealous. So it's a very by-the-book isekai, for the most part, outside of, like, he's not just this guy in another world. He has the memories instead.
Yeah, he just has memories, which is kind of a little bit better way of doing it.
There's something interesting about the fact that he's a rare person who has black hair, kind of like Japanese, but he comes from a region called Yagumo. So I think there's going to be something about how maybe it's not just him that has memories like this, but his family in the past. So I want to see how this goes. I've never read the light novel series, but even though it's by the book, It's got me intrigued enough where I've been keeping up with it weekly. Like, I've been like, I gotta see the next episode. Like, so it's well done. Yeah, it's not gonna be like everybody's favorite series, but it's a really solid watch.
And not one that you knew about before the anime came out.
I knew of the light novels, but I never read up on it or checked it out.
Okay.
It was one I had planned on because I've been, I'm an Isekai trash fan. So I'm trash. I love Isekai.
Well, one of those statements is true.
So next up, we all watched Life Lessons with Oramichi Onisan. This is the adult show of the season, and not in a hentai or ecchi way. This is literally, if you have lived past 25 or probably 30, you 30. Will understand this fucking show to a T. Mm-hmm. We've all had these moments. So, Uramichi is a 31-year-old children's TV host, along with others who are in a similar situation of him, who really haven't amounted to much except to work on this TV show. They all had aspiring dreams, and now this is what they are. Uramichi's life is pain, and he just wants to be miserable in peace. I first saw like the pictures of the show, and was like, I'm not watching this. And then I saw a clip on TikTok of like the part of the opening sequence, and I was like, all right, I'm watching this show. It's basically him being like all happy, bubbly with the kids, and then hitting them with reality. And I'm like, oh, this show looks like it's gonna be amazing. So I checked it out, and then I was like, you guys have to watch this show.
I've only seen one episode of it, but I'm definitely going to continue watching it because, you know, the animation and the style kind of threw me off a little bit. Like, it's not my thing. But then when you actually like go through the story, like it's quite mature. As in, holy shit, I'm 30. I can understand like what this guy is saying, and like I feel for him.
Yeah, well, I think we've all had moments in our lives that show up in some of these characters at some point. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, my only concern is that maybe that the shtick might get a little tired after a couple episodes. But I did very much enjoy the first episode, and mostly I think the best part is his interactions with his coworkers, who are genuinely trying to do a good job, and he is this miserable entity just trying to get through the day. So specifically, he has a conflict in the first episode with the two mask characters, a rabbit and it was a bear, right?
Yeah, the bear is the main one.
And he is insistent that they appear after all the children yell twice, because if he yells three times, he will lose his voice.
Thanks for the hard drinking, which he tells the kids.
Thanks to the hard drinking.
Dude, the kid in the background was like, was that because of your hard drinking?
I died. I freaking died.
Oh, Shannon needs to talk about her favorite moment.
Oh, so there's another coworker. Well, it's one of the guys in the it's another coworker. It's not one of the guys in the mascot suits, who apparently is like very good looking, and you know, he's got a lot going for him, but he's extremely crass and crude, and he really likes perverted jokes. So the first time you're introduced to him, he's telling a dick joke. He's talking about a guy named Richard something or other, and he's like, you know what his nickname is? Dick. Ha ha ha. So they're walking down the hallway, and Uramichi's like saying all these other words like penis and dingling and just making this guy crack up. And I was like, oh my god.
To the point where he can't go on stage.
This shit was so immature, so basic as far as humor goes, but it was really, really funny. That was funny.
They're not good dick jokes.
No.
They're just saying the word dick, and he just kind of can't
even...
But
to be fair, the reason why I think that works so well is because we've all been in those situations where it shouldn't be as funny as it is, but it keeps being funny no matter what. Like, I love that. So I want to press on a point that Scott said, where he said the shtick could get old. I have said I am watching this show weekly because I do not want to marathon this show.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you watch more than two episodes of this, you might get bored pretty quick. I think it's great as a weekly show. I don't recommend people marathon this show. It will definitely get boring quick. But as something to pick as a kind of a palate cleanser between everything else I'm watching once a week, it's kind of perfect. So, but
Yeah, between all those, all those serious isekais that you gotta, watch, or something lighthearted.
But I'm saying most of it's fantasy in some way. The rest of it, for the most part, so it's right. It's a nice.
And this is
like,
not.
Yeah, and Funimation knows when they have a show for adults. Our friend Stu pointed out they've already announced the Blu-ray and DVD set because they know there's an audience that will buy this shit, because it's rare that shows come out for this specific audience in this specific way that hits reality in a funny way. So I thought that was interesting that Funimation was like, yeah, this is coming out already before like the first episode aired. They're like, we're bringing this out to y'all.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. So I think they already knew they had a hit on its hand. But yeah, Urumichi Onisan, check it out. Watch it week to week. It's a really funny, some dark humor that really hits home. Everybody, you're going to find moments where you're like, yeah, I was there at some point. Or still are. But hopefully you laugh at it. Really good show. The next one is going to be super brief. The Duke of Death and His Maid. This is a super charming show of a boy who is a duke, and he is cursed by a witch to anything he touches that is alive will die. He has been basically exiled by his mom to a summer vacation home to live, and the maid, the daughter of the head maid, becomes his maid to live with him and take care of him and also tease the fuck out of him. It is a bit etchy. It's not over the top. She's always just trying to get a reaction out of him, whether it's showing a bit more skin without being completely like, here's a straight up nip. It's 3D animated, which I thought was going to be jarring. It's noticeable at times, but it's not terrible. But what I took away from the show is I might finish this one day. It's kind of charming, of where you can tell the daughter of the maid, her name's Alice, truly has feelings for him, and he can't touch her, she can't touch him, but you can tell, like, she's like, we're going to find a way to break this curse. It's got some really charming moments and some emotionally sad, where an old friend of his, who after the curse stopped being his friend, shows up, like he wants to see how he's doing. And it goes a little south where he realizes it's not really his friend anymore. And he's afraid of him because of the curse. So it hits some touchy moments. I was surprised. I don't know why I turned this on to watch, but I turned it on and I left going, it's charming. I can see why people would enjoy this. And I might finish it one day. But it's not a must watch. I couldn't sit here and be like, you gotta watch this show. If you got nothing else to do, I think it's a good thing to throw on every once in a while. Let's see. I've got one more here that only I watched, which was Peach Boy Riverside. I didn't know what the hell I was going to see in this show. The cover art looked like four girls going off on a trip, or I should say three girls and a guy. Basically, I don't know, on a journey. And then I turn it on, and it's basically about a girl, Sally, who meets Frau, who's a demi-human, a bunny demi-human. Saves Frau. Frau pledges loyalty to her. You find out quickly that demi-humans are not allowed in any pretty much human establishments or towns, and she has to hide herself. They end up in a kingdom. And that's attacked by ogres. And it gets gruesome quick. I was not expecting this. Like, there were some fight scenes early, but literally it got gruesome quick. Bloody arms chopped off with the ogres. People just dying. Like, a blast goes through the kingdom and people are just dead. I'm like, what? And the funny thing is, this is the same mangaka behind Kobayashi. Dragon Maid. I was like, what? This is like the complete freaking opposite. I had no idea. When I found that out, I was dumbfounded. But it is a show. I don't know if people know this. I don't know the full story of Peach Boy. I know it's like a boy who was born to slay ogres. So Sally's trying to find Mikoto, who she knows. that is slaying ogres. And come to find out, she's got the kind of piece. There's two of them. Sally's one, except she doesn't see ogres as her lifelong enemy. And this kind of goes through that where they befriend an ogre early on that Makoto's already dealt with. Didn't kill, but took away the powers of. And then eventually you find out there's ogres that want to supposedly make nice with humans and coexist. So I generally interested in the show. I didn't know what the hell I was going to expect in the show. It turned out to be pretty fun, pretty violent, good characters. I didn't find any moments annoying. I kept every time a new episode comes out, I check it out immediately. Like, it really captured my intrigue. Friend of the show, Matt, felt the same way. We're both like, where'd this show come from? Didn't know it was originally a manga. Another one of those I was happy that I decided to tune into. I actually enjoy this one and think people should check it out. That's why I said There's a lot of good shows this season I've enjoyed.
And this is pure fantasy too, right?
Yes. There's no isekai. No. She's born and raised in this world. They're all from this world. You don't have to worry about that.
We have to couch that when we're actually talking about a fantasy show.
Finally, I guess I'll let... you watch more than this than me, so I'll let you talk about this next show.
Oh, yeah. The Antelope on White Sand, which is not the actual name of the show.
The Antelope? Did you say Antelope?
Is it not Antelope?
Aquatope?
Is it Aquatope?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I've been misprinting.
You weren't joking? I thought you were doing that on purpose.
Yeah, well, that makes sense why it didn't. That's why the title didn't make sense to me. But it does have...
I thought you were Aquatope. Being your normal self where you just made some shit up.
No, I didn't understand what the title meant. That makes more sense, the Aquatope. But it has a subtitle, and I can't see it now, but it's in it. It's the two girls... I can't see it. Two girls make...
The two girls met in the ruins of Damage Dream. That's
yeah.
Just
there
Japan.
You go. Yeah. So is a show by PA Works, and boy, is it a show by PA Works. It's about a girl who is finding meaning in life by leaving the big city and going to a rural area. This time, happens to be Okinawa instead of the previous locations and other PA Works shows. So definitely leaning into their themes very heavily. But it's a little different. So the main character had her dreams crushed. I don't 100% know where she's from. I think she is from like a rural place, moved to Tokyo for a couple of years. While still in high school, which I didn't realize was kind of a thing, but it makes sense that she went to live by herself in Tokyo and finish high school at the same time, but while training to be an idol.
Yep.
She does this idol training, goes through hell, you know, daily drills and exercise and all this nonsense. And then she pinpoints this one moment where she has the opportunity to be the center in a performance of this training group, and then it's given to a different girl
who looked up to her. Like it wasn't like given to a rival; it was given to somebody that saw her as her senpai, basically.
Yeah, her kansai. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess considered like, was that chief or something? Am I wrong? I don't remember.
Well, yeah, one below, like the lower classman. But so, and I guess the reason, it was an emotional reason, it was her grandmother was coming to see the show and she wanted this. But she marks that as the point where her performance starts to slip. Like, that was her big opportunity. It was, she voluntarily gave it to somebody else, and then she started to slip, and then her starting to go downhill. The producers were like putting more pressure on her, and then she completely collapsed, and then she was essentially fired. So after putting all this effort in, she got fired. So then she was going to go home and instead of going home, she just got on a train going to Okinawa. Or got on a plane going to Okinawa. Which, boy, is a dream of all of us, right? To just go to a different destination and not face the reality of the situation at hand. Yeah. So when she gets there, she meets this girl who wants to keep her grandfather's aquarium open, Kukuru.
Who's basically from the island, lived there, grew up there.
Because
honestly, both of them are protagonists. They're given pretty even screen time throughout.
Because her dream of an idol has been thrown away, she decides to lean into Kukuro's dream and help her try to revive this aquarium, which will be closing at the end of the summer season because her grandfather is retiring and they just can't afford to keep it up. So it's certainly, again, heavily of the themes of PA Works. This time, you know, we're focusing on Okinawa, which is not, you know, is not a place that we actually see that often in anime.
True.
I can't think of a single anime that takes place in Okinawa. I think they go there in Love Hina briefly. But nothing that takes place like exclusively there. So that's an interesting kind of semi-rural setting. It's definitely like a tourist spot, and you get that touristy feeling from it.
Very pretty,
but I think
very beautiful.
I think, yeah, stunning. But Fuku I is like a really interesting character because she is literally like actively running away from her problems, glomming onto Kukuru to help her. So there's definitely going to be an interesting character dynamic as that
I thought the,
starts
to
resolve itself.
Whoops. I thought the fortune teller scene was really interesting in the first episode because the fortune teller saw a scam and then Fuka's so genuine, she's just like ended up like airing out her own dirty laundry as the fortune teller and gives her a free reading and sees her as like a sister now. Like, it was so funny. She's like, oh, easy scam. Lays out her own heart and then is like, I like you. Free reading. I really like that sequence.
And I think that plays into the you know, this is kind of a touristy trap place, but the people are genuine and nice. And I think that's a nice, it does a nice job of setting that the time and place that we're in.
Yeah. My thoughts on this show, I thought it was super pretty. I liked the characters. It's not a show. So where I said Orimichi O Nissan is a show I want to watch weekly, I feel like this is a show I want to binge watch and not watch weekly. I feel like weekly I would not enjoy it as much because after that first episode was done, I was like, man, I feel like if I watch just episode two, I'm going to be like, I might drop this off if I can't keep continuing on with the shows because I feel like there's not like a cliffhanger moment. It's more like just ends for the next episode to begin, at least in episode one.
Yeah.
And I was like, great. And I just want to keep watching this. Like, stop.
And when I have come back to PA Work shows and watched them a second time, I have definitely found myself like marathoning through them because the character drama is so compelling. You kind of, you know, there is a small in their shows. There's small character developments throughout, and you kind of. Seeing them build on each other in a bunch of episodes back to back is really rewarding.
Yeah, so that's how I'm going to watch
13,
this.
Is this 13 or 24?
Do not know. Anime Planet only says 2+ because they tend to go with what actually comes out.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be watching this every week.
Yeah, I'll wait till the end. Because I have 6 shows I want to watch weekly, so. But That's it for stuff I watch. I think you have the only show left.
I do. I have the final show, which is just called Remake Our Life. It's based on a light novel series of the same name, I assume. It's relatively new. It's been publishing since 2017. But it is definitely one of those shows that is about, you know, it's about people making anime or I think in this tape it's technically visual novels, but same difference. People making art, which I will always gravitate towards those type of shows. But it's interesting that we see one thing that's interesting, which is maybe you recall, but this first episode was like the length of two. It was 15-minute episode. No, but do you know any other series that starts off with a 50-minute episode?
50?
I've never heard that before.
So I remember hearing about it. I saw somebody post somewhere, and I can't remember if it was on the Anime Planet forums or on Twitter, saying that they wish more shows would start off with a longer first episode.
Yeah, and it was really satisfying because the story it's a fairly deep story that they're telling, yeah, because they have to introduce this main character, they have to go through this concept and really establish why why he feels like his life failed.
Yeah.
So it's about Hashiba Kyoya, which I hope I'm saying correctly, and he is a aspiring game developer. The company he just worked for went bankrupt. He loses his job. He returns to his hometown, and despite that, like he's home for one day, and he actually meets a producer and gets hired again, as a production advisor, and really like. Really finds a satisfactory job and really is fulfilled and is working with people that he likes, and then all of a sudden this project that he's working on gets pulled on it, and he's end up again out of work and nothing to show for it, no credits to his name, so like months of work for nothing. So he ends up back home for a second time in like the first 15 minutes of this first episode. And he's just kind of like, he picks up like some magazine article about these creators, these three like, you know, like generation defining creators that he idolizes, that have created a bunch of very popular stuff, and they're the same age as him. And he's just like, well, you know, they went to the school that I got into but didn't go to. You know, this very famous art school on the outskirts of Osaka, and he decided to go to kind of a more traditional school to be like have a backup. But he wonders what his life would be like if he went to this art school, and so he goes to bed that night. He wakes up the next morning, and his sister wakes up, and she wakes him up, and she's back in middle school. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. And he's been transported back in time 10 years. And it's the day that he received his acceptance letter to this art school. And he is, you know, he has all his memories of the 10 years that preceding, but he is, you know, physically in his, 18-year-old body. And this time he decides he's going to go to the art school. He's going to try to make it as an artist. And we kind of get this wonderful like opening scene where he like that's like this whole new class of people in this art program of, you know, there's directors and photographers and classic artists and all them, and like the teacher goes up there and she says like, well, welcome to this art school. How many graduates do you think found their found their dream job after graduating last year? And then like someone's like 24, you know, out of like a class of like 200. It's like, try 8. And then just like, oh no. Oh no. What is this series setting us up for?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where we start. So he moves into this boarding house with 3 other students, two girls and 1 other guy. There is a mild amount of fan service. I think it probably rides the line between like a classic level of fan service as opposed to like, you know, it never is like creepy fan service, but it's more like girl presses breast against guy fan service.
Oh, okay.
Not you know, but it's there. There's definitely anime in this,
like, kind of like that fan service
30-year-old anime,
like a fan service where the girl walks out in like her night clothes, but it doesn't really show anything, but it's just enough to get the main character like nosebleed. But not, I'm sure he doesn't, but
yeah, there is literally a scene in the second episode of one of the women accidentally walks into the common area in her bra. So yes, that is the level of fan service. I watched up to the second episode. The second episode, they actually start to work on stuff, and you get that very satisfying, like, these are very creative characters working on a thing, and they have arguments and disagreements. But what we see is that is these characters are those creators that he idolized in the beginning as their younger
friend
selves.
Of the show,
and he only
Stu said the other creators, you can kind of tell they're supposed to be paying an homage to real life people. Do you get that feeling?
I couldn't name okay. who they are, but I'm sure they are, because because all of the creators that he idolizes, he doesn't know that they're there, because in the industries they use
pseudonyms.
Pseudonyms and pen names, and so he only knows that one of these people is of this generation defining group because he walks past her room and she's working on a piece of art that when he was an adult was his phone's wallpaper, and so that's how you know at that point. But yeah, I mean, very good. It definitely hits that like creators working on stuff feel, and I think it's really an interesting setup where, like, can this guy like turn his life around?
Sounds
already
better than Shiro Bako.
I don't know if it's gonna be better than Shiro Bako, but
I found Shiro Bako super fucking boring.
Already in the second episode, he has accidentally plagiarized one of his roommates because he read their work in the future. So it's gonna be interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch this one. I was recommended it, but I was like, maybe I'll watch it at some point. It's just, I hit so much, I was like, I gotta stop.
You hit way too much.
Yeah, you are on a roll.
I just, there's a lot this season I really wanted to check out. I was surprised. It's been a long time since I've checked out this many shows in a season. But had a blast. I did want to say one thing that, I don't know why this, you talking about that made me think of it. Oh, the 50-minute episode. The only other show within this season that really needed a 50-minute episode was How a Realist Hero Rebuilt a Kingdom. Get those two episodes together, the first two, and get those out of the way. They needed to do that as a one episode, because one of the funny things about How a Realist Hero Rebuilt a Kingdom, it's got so much to tell you. Credits are rolling while they're still showing you shit in the show. Like, I thought that was hilarious in How a Realist Hero. It's like literally like credits start rolling and they're still doing these scenes, and you're like, Jesus, you had to pack so much in here. You're just rolling the credits. All of this. Matt and I were just laughing about that. We're like, good Lord, they really had to pack a lot in here, didn't they? But I feel like that. Yeah. More shows, especially when it comes to world building, need a 50-minute episode instead of trying to break it apart 2 weeks. Get that world building episode out of the way immediately. I think more people would appreciate it. But so, is that the last one?
I think so.
That's the last one.
All right.
Then that's anime, everybody.
Yep.
That's anime.
Summer season 2021.
I'm hoping.
Woo!
Well, see, it was your kind of genre season. This was definitely not my kind of genre season, so that's why I didn't really have a whole lot to talk about, because nothing really tickled my fancy.
Well, just wait till next season. There's more isekai.
Fuck! See, yeah, my isekai days were back in the 90s, so I can't do the isekais that have, like, I was a punk bitch in my past life, and now I'm a shithead douchebag or something. You know, like, I can't do those.
Oh, you know, but next season we have the world's finest assassin gets reincarnated in another world as an aristocrat.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, hold on. This one's not an isekai, but it's banished from the hero's party. I decided to live a quiet life in the countryside.
What the fuck is up with these titles?
Shannon...
And I'm
you
watching
have,
both of them.
An actual creative work that you pursue.
I do.
Can you? Why don't you tell everybody?
It's
about
called
it
Kick Out of Kicked
it?
Out of Hell. I'm now in
Boys. No, it's not. Boys Love. It's not called that.
No, so I do a bi-monthly webcomic called Lucifer's Ace. You can find on Webtoon and Tapas and Webcomics app. And then, yeah, that's what I do.
You
what
can
do
find
you do?
Me? Or who, me or
who,
Scott?
Whoever.
Who's on first?
Who's on first?
Who? No. You can find me at gnitro.com.
I can't
all
believe,
the social medias.
I can't believe it's
Nitro,
actually who
fuck this
on
guy.
First.
And that's it. Find me at those places. How about
is
you,
my,
who?
Is,
how about what?
That's my,
how about you, what?
That's my isekai name. That's my isekai name. I can't believe it is actually who on first.
Have you not seen that joke? Who's on first? It's a
of
old
course
joke.
I know the joke. Who's on first? Yes, that's why I'm. Yes, but that isekai title ruins the joke. That's anyway. You can find me internet twitter.com/ScottSpaziani.
Watch some anime otaku, this season, fools.
Otakuandreview.com. Where you can read mostly legacy text reviews, maybe a new review, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm working on something. And you can watch me stream games at twitch.tv/GundamPilotSpaz,
where you can go and support Jeff Bezos' next space flight.
Where you can go and support Jeff Bezos' next space flight.
That's why I'm not on Twitch anymore. Fuck you, Jeff Bezos.
I mean, I guess the alternative is you can go and stream on YouTube and support the world's largest advertising
network. I
don't
do that either.
Yeah.
Fuck them all.
Well, I guess you're just a lonely boy trapped in your room.
I'm fine.
You should make your own.
I'm fine.
You should make your own.
I'm fine.
Server, and stream videos to your own like XBMC server or something.
Dude, you should come out this Friday and check out the dude in me.
I don't know what that means.
It's a movie we're watching. The dude in me.
Okay. You know what? Maybe I will.
Peace.
All right.
We had to leave it there.
Yeah, you said it. Finally. You finally fucking said it.
All right. So, this is just an easy intro, so.
All right. What are we calling it?
The same thing we do for all the previews, just.
I can't believe this.
You don't
I
have
can't
to
believe
say
it's
anything.
A summer. I can't believe no. It's a summer preview 2021.
What do we call it? Shit. What did we call the last ones?
I'm not sure. I wasn't on that one.
You weren't on the last one?
I think you were on the last
one. Oh, was I? I don't know. Maybe it was the one before that.
I'm just going to say this is the summer 2021 preview. I say that instead of, because we don't label this as an episode number.
No.
It's just the preview. So. You don't have to say anything after I say the date. It just ends. We're good. You ready? I got it typed up. Let's go.
Um,